Verses number 1, 2, and 3. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the chance to be here this morning. I ask you would please speak to our hearts through Pastor. Be with him as he preaches. Be with the all of the singing and the songs that they will be honoring and uplifting to you, and that you would receive all the glory from it. We love you and ask this in your name. Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing hymn number 215, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul.
Oh,
stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 185, My Savior's Love. Stand as we sing.
Hello? Beside the gates of heaven, waiting to go in, and he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music in they came. Of the angel standing by him, he asked what could be their name. these are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, saints who knew our Lord and walked beside him, who ran the holy race and did not faint. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. Suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels. These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of all who called upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith. And oh, he leaped up from his knees. Oh, I can go in with these, and I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, ever life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Oh, he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the despised, but as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the hosts of heaven rise, and they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. And I can
Amen. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing. I love to tell a story.
Departs, the new year comes, and though celestial is your gaze. You search and care for all our ways. We offer up to you this day and all of our tomorrows. Me zealous youth and cautious age, determine not the steps we choose. Great Shepherd, guide us through each day. How we want to follow you. Come, living way, our way make clear. Let perfect love drive out our fear. Be thou our vision now and here, and all of our tomorrow. Us reminisce of warmer days so distant now, of cherished saints the sun once kissed, whose beauty passed behind the clouds. Let all our fond and longing tears remind us we are pilgrims here. Trust you, sovereign of our years, with all of our tomorrows. Hands to the plow, we're pressing on, and running hard to win the prize. By the love of God, with grace before and grace behind. For lo, what hope before us stands. You finish all that you began. Eternal joy is in your hands, and all of our
Amen. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4. Good to be in the Lord's house today and to have each one of you with us. God has been good to us, give us a beautiful day. And I can't think of a better place to be than in the Lord's house. And so 2 weeks ago, we started in Proverbs chapter 4. And did a message on Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23. And today we're coming back to preach on verse number 24. And then in a couple of weeks, I'm going to preach on 25. And then the week after that one, we'll preach out of 26. So if you found Proverbs chapter 4, and you can stand with me in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, we'll begin in verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, I know as we're reading this, it may come across as just some words, but there's a lot to be applied out of this portion of Scripture, and a lot that'll really help you in your growth with the Lord. Just a couple of weeks ago, Brother Charles and I went and made a visit in a lady's house, and I was talking about how good it is to be saved and how good it is to walk with the Lord. And I asked her, I said, "How's your walk with the Lord?" And she goes, "I don't know what you mean." Well, our walk with the Lord starts at the moment of salvation, and then we go forward, okay? We go forward by reading our Bible. We go forward by praying. We go forward by being in services like this where the Word of God's preached, and we take notes, and we go, "Oh, I need to add that to my life. I need to change this." We do it through Sunday school time. We do it through daily devotional time. All these things are important. And so I've entitled this An Established Mouth. An Established Mouth. When I got saved, my number one problem was my mouth. And so anyhow, let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house and to worship you. We thank you, dear God, for all the answered prayer that you have given us this week and the way that you have worked. God, we praise you for it. We thank you. We pray, dear God, that you would meet with us today, that the Holy Spirit would have power and freedom to move in our lives and our hearts and to bring honor and glory to you. Lord, help draw us closer to you. We want to leave here today knowing that we've heard from you, that we've drawn closer to you. Lord, that you've had your will accomplished in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who are here that maybe have never accepted you as their Lord and Savior. If they were to die right now, they don't know that heaven would be their eternal home. And Lord, I pray that they would listen and they might be intent upon knowing. And Lord, that they'd give us opportunity to share with them how they can know that they're saved, their sins are forgiven, and heaven can be their eternal home. Thank you for this time together today. Pray that you'd use it for your honor and for your glory. We love you, and we ask these things in your wonderful name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. An established mouth. We're going to zero in on verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now, just as we read in verse number 23, we read, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." We find that these verses are not suggestive, okay? I don't think that God's just putting them in here, to fill up space. I think that what God's trying to do is to make some almost commands to us. Look, if you're going to grow closer to the Lord, if you're going to become the Christian that you need to be, you need to do these things. You need to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then you need to learn to put away a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now, I realize that first of all, we cannot have the mouth and our lips in the right connection to the Lord unless our heart is right. Okay, so see, this is a building block thing. Okay, it starts with our heart. You know, when we accept Christ, our Lord and Savior, our heart ought to be given him. The Bible tells us that we're to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. We are to love him that way. And so the heart becomes the foundation upon which we build these other points. And so if my heart is built upon him, if I love him, if I know him as my Lord and Savior, then there's some things I'm going to want to do. And one of the things I'm going to want to do is I'm going to want to put my mouth in his hands. I want to put my mouth under his control. It's sad when you meet someone who claims to be a Christian and then every other word out of their mouth is a belligerent or is a blasphemous terms or technology. When we were building this building, We had an inspector that would come from Shawnee in to inspect this building. And he would come, and every other word was a cursed word. And I went to the guy, we had hired this guy to oversee the building project. And I said, I want that man to stop talking like that. I don't want to listen to it. He says, listen, you don't want to make a ruckus with him. So I waited till afterwards. The final day that he came through, and I told him, I said, you know, you have been very offensive to me, the way you talk when you come in here. It was just sad that a man who was 40, 50 years old couldn't use better language. He didn't know any better language, and every other word had to be a cuss word. Come on, man. It was evident that he wasn't a Christian, nor had any desire. Matter of fact, maybe he ramped it up just because he was at a church. But a child of God, those type of things should never come from our mouth. We ought to give our mouth to the Lord. I can still remember one of the first acknowledgments in my life of the Holy Spirit working. And I was in DeSoto, Kansas, the big town of DeSoto. My mom was riding with me. We were in her car. And DeSoto, you parked at an angle. You drove in and parked all along Main Street. And I was parked in front of the bank and was in my mom's car and getting ready to back out and, you know, feeling quite full of myself. You know, my wife will tell you when she first met me, there was no one better than me. I mean, it was all about me. I was so egotistical. Maybe that's what drew her. No, I'm teasing. I'm getting ready to back out and start to back out, and here comes a car. And I remember hitting the brakes, and out of my mouth came language I should never use, let alone in front of my mom. And I remember her words were, "You want me to take you home and wash your mouth out with soap?" She was a small woman, or I think she would have tried it. I was a pretty big guy at that time. But I knew my dad could do it. I lived in fear of my dad my entire life. And, of course, now things had switched over. Once I got into my 20s, I realized that it was a respect I should have for my dad, and not just fearful of how he could kill me. But and so there was that changing point. And the Holy Spirit at that time smote my heart. He said, "You shouldn't talk like that." You say, "Did you hear that?" No, I didn't hear it, but I knew it. You know how the Holy Spirit speaks to you? Not necessarily with an audible voice, but with an internal voice saying, that shouldn't be a part of your life. That's got to go. And so we're going to talk about this today. First of all, the first thing we find in this verse, it says this phrase, put away from thee, put away from thee. That idea is to place, to lay, to set, to put, to do away with. To get it out, to get away from it, to put it away. And so we'd ask, well, why? That's the favorite question of a two-year-old or a teenager. I was wondering if you're going to get that. I thought that was pretty good. A two-year-old or a teenager, because that's when I heard it the most at our house. 2 years old, everything was why? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why? And then when we raised teenagers, it was like, why do I have to do that? Why do I have a time limit? Why do I have to? Why? Ugh. And so it's my favorite two-year-old and teenage question. Why can't I go? Why can't I wear this? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? So in this portion of Scripture, we're being told that there are some things that we must put away. These are not suggestions. If we're going to grow close to the Lord, if we're going to become the Christian that God wants us to be, then there are some things that we're going to have to, when we read the Word of God, say, I need to change because the Word of God says so. The Word of God says that this is what I need to do, so I need to take this and I need to put this away. I need to take it and put it away. You know the idea of, you know, when you're on a trip and you come home, you've got your suitcase, and you can do one or two things with it. You can take it like into the laundry room and unzip it and turn it upside down and then take this and put the suitcase away. Or you can take, we always take a laundry bag with us, and so we got all our laundry in this certain bag. We come into the house, we toss that into the where the washer and the dryer are, and then we take our luggage on back to the bedroom. And you know, I just can't relax when I get home until I get all my stuff put away. And so I'll go through and I'll put all my stuff away, and I know where she likes her suitcase, and I'll put it there. And it may sit there a week. She open it, gets a few things out, shut it, just stay there. Ain't that right, dear? Amen. That's preaching right there. And she would just open it, get a few things. I just can't do that. I've got to put the stuff away, and I got to, that way I go, it's done. It's in its place. It's good. And so that's what the idea here, that we need to put this away. Now look, when I take my hanging bag and put it away, I don't see it until the next time I need it. I know where it's at. I've got a in our closet down on the far end. I keep my suits, and down in the suit area, I've got a long overcoat that I wear in the winter months, and right behind that, then I keep my hanging bag. That's where it hangs, right there. And so when it's time for me to get ready to go someplace and I'm not flying, I'll use that hanging bag. It's my favorite hanging bag. I'll go back and get it, take it and hook it up on one of the doors, and I'll start putting my clothes in it, and then she'll put her clothes in it, and then we'll try to zip it close, and we get that all done. It always amazes me how I can get like this many clothes, and she gets like, anyhow. And we get that all in that little bag and zip it up, and then it's ready to go. And then when we get back, then we empty it, and I put it away. So the idea here is that what we're going to talk about needs to be put away. Not put away for a little while, okay? This would be put away like I'm going to take it to the trash can. It's not like, I can remember when I got saved, and I was a metalhead. Okay, I had a lot of rock and roll. A lot of rock and roll. Not a little rock and roll, a lot of rock and roll. I had a lot of rock and roll, and I was at, I'd been saved for maybe 6 months or a year, and we were at a youth rally, and the preacher's preaching, and he says, you know, your music is very important in your life. And I can testify to that. I had music. Back then, we had 8-track tapes. Anybody remember 8-track tapes? Amen. Those were of the devil, I guess. But anyhow, 8-track tapes. And I had certain tapes I'd put in to cruise. I had certain tapes I put in to be anxious, to speed, you know, going out looking for trouble. Certain tapes I would put in for that. If I wanted to fight, there's fighting music. I mean, I really, all that classified, and I put in whatever I wanted to listen to. So I'm at this youth rally, this preacher's preaching, and he says, you know, you need to get rid of all the ungodly music, and you need to just throw it away, or you ought to burn it, or you ought to get rid of it. My dad knew the massive collection of music that I had, and he said, no, you're not going to do that. He said, let's put it in a box, and let's move it to the basement. Okay. So I put it all in a box, and I moved it to the basement. Now, I would tell parents today, if your kid wants to get rid of it, help him get rid of it. Don't hold it around. It's like harboring a rattlesnake. Okay? Well, we're going to put the rattlesnake in a box, and we're going to put it in the basement. Well, the whole idea is that I know what my dad was thinking. He was thinking his mind might change. And he's just going to go out and blow all that more money to replace everything that he had. I mean, I had entire collections by artists. And I had not only records, I had the 8-tracks, because they were the end thing at that time. I mean, massive, I mean, thousands of dollars. And he said, put it in a box, put it downstairs. I never will forget about 5 years after I moved it all downstairs, got down there one day and took a hammer and started busting all that stuff up. And I just praise God that I'd put it away. I'd put it out of my heart, I'd put it away. I'd put it out of my mind, I'd put it away. It was all downstairs. I still knew where it was, but it needed to be gone. Now listen, what we're talking about today is not just the light putting away. It's not just that, you know, we're here at church and the preacher's preaching, and oh yes, I need to get rid of that, and oh yes, I need to get rid of that. And so I'm gonna make this decision today, and I'm gonna put this away, and then Monday we go out on the job. And it's always amazing when you make a decision at church and you make it between God and the Holy Spirit, and you're asking God to help you and to forgive you. It's always amazing to me that on Monday or Tuesday there's gonna be a trial. By the way, maybe even Sunday afternoon. And you're going to say, whoa, wait a minute, man. I put that stuff aside. I put that stuff aside. And yet the devil's going to bring it back around. He's going to bring it back around. That's why it's so important we put it away. It's the longer you put it away, the better off you're going to be. It's hard the first couple of days, right? It's kind of like starting a diet. How many of you like to start a diet? Yeah, that's what I thought. They are the most unfun things in the world, okay? So I'm reading, doing some studying, and they talked about this intermittent fasting. I'm like, I think I could do that. I could do that. And so my first day, I'm gonna fast breakfast. You know, it comes breakfast time, my wife's eating breakfast, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I really would like to eat that, but I'm not going to, okay? I'm a man of willpower. I'm not going to do it. The second day, it's like, man, I did this yesterday. Maybe it's time for the diet to be over. No, I'm gonna do this. And, you know, after about 3 or 4 days, then it settles in. Hey, this isn't a problem at all. I can watch her eat all she wants at breakfast time. It's no big deal anymore. So then I get this big idea. I'm going to try lunch. Lunch was a lot harder. Probably because my mind's already telling me, hey, you didn't feed me at breakfast, and now it's lunchtime. What do you mean? Come on, bozo, feed me something. And so it's this battle, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's what's going to happen here. When we talk about the mouth and we make decisions, and it really is any area of Christianity that we make a decision for the Lord, Satan's going to come along. He's going to test you. He's going to try you. He's going to try to get you to fail. He's going to try to get you to drag it back out of the trash and continue to make it a part of your life. And so the only way you can really get the victory over it is to say, God, I need your help. I need your help to get the victory over this area of my life. And so let's just kind of look at some things in the Bible that God told people to put away. Like Genesis 35:2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. So it's a picture of put this away, put the idols away. You need to change. You need to get right with God. That's what we're kind of talking about here. When we talk about a froward mouth and perverse lips, he's saying, put this away. Clean yourself up. Get rid of this dirt, this trash, this stuff that's hurting you. Get rid of it. Don't have anything to do with it. You need to purify yourselves. You need to cleanse yourself. You need to put this stuff away because it's not helping you to be more like Christ. It's hindering your walk with God. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 15, it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Talking about putting away. This was something they were to do. We could go on. Deuteronomy 19:13. I've got verse after verse here. Thine eyes shall not pity him, but thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, and that it may go well with thee. He said, look, you need to put it away. You need to put it away. In Ephesians 4, in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So even with intent, we need to put these things away. We need to get them out of our life. Not put them away for a little while. Not put them away so I can bring them out later. Put them thoroughly away, totally away from our lives. So, by the way, just so you know, there are 53 verses in the Bible that tells us to put away different things in our lives as Christians and followers of God. Okay? Now, someone will say, well, you know, I just don't like Christianity because it's a religion of do's and don'ts. Well, I dare challenge you with the fact that there are a lot of don'ts of putting away. There's a lot of those things. But the benefit and the blessings far outweigh that of putting things away. I heard one time a preacher was preaching. He said, for every don't in the Bible, there's two do's. Okay? So we can't say the Bible's all about don'ts because it's not. The Bible's about trying to help us to be conformed into the image of Christ. It's about molding us to be the children of God. That leads us to our second point, a froward mouth. A froward mouth. Now, my fingers get a little happy when I'm typing, and so I'm typing a froward mouth, but it said a forward mouth. A forward mouth and a froward mouth are not the same things. Because I looked up the definitions. It doesn't work. So make sure this is a froward mouth. A F-R-O, not a F-O-R. A froward mouth. The definition of froward is perverse. That is turning from with aversion our reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required. Unyielding, ungovernable. Oh, check this out. Refractory. I like that word. I didn't know what it meant, but I liked it. How many of you knew before I give you the definition? Refractory. Oh, Brother Barry, I should have called you. Awesome. Refractory. Great definition. A person obstinate in opposition or disobedient. Obstinate. Opposition. Refractory. That's a great word. Johnny, quit being refractory. Go lay across the bed and get your whipping for being refractory. That's awesome. The definition goes on, a froward, disobedient. Oh, and I got another new word. Peevish. Peevish. P-E-V-I-S-H. How many have heard that word? How many can define? Good night, Barry. What, do you sit around and read dictionary? Wow. I love smart guys like this, but you make me look really bad. Peevish. Well, we could just have Barry stand and give us a definition, but since I looked it up, it means to be fretful, apt to mutter and complain, easily vexed or vetted, hard to please, expressing discontent and fretfulness, silly and childish. Man, I wish I had that word when my kids were growing up. Remember my groups of two and teens? I could have used that all through their teenage years. Quit being peevish. Come on, man, you know what I mean. Quit being peevish. Quit being refractory. Those are great words. Froward. So to be froward is to be perverse, unwilling to comply, ungovernable, peevish, to mutter and complain, expressing discontent like a child. That's what froward means. Listen to some scriptures about the froward. And I typed it forward right there. That's crazy. Froward. Deuteronomy 32:20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 27, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. Job 5:13, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. Psalms 101 verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Proverbs 2:12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the way that speaketh froward things. Proverbs 2:15, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. So, as I read the scripture, and I've got a lot of it here, but for time, I'm not going to read it all to you. It's not just a froward mouth, but it's froward actions. So, I can use my mouth to say froward things, but also actions come into play. Have you ever seen the kid? You ask him, so what's wrong?
Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
Oh, come on, Johnny. What's wrong?
Nothing wrong.
Can't believe I didn't get my favorite ice cream at the grocery store. Can't believe you expect me to clean my room today.
Well, what's going on?
Nothing. Nothing going on. Be so glad when I'm out of here. Be so glad when they're not telling me what to do. I'll show them. Yes, I will. I'll show them. I'll show them.
Come on, don't tell me you ain't never seen that at your house. I hope you boys never act like that at yours. Refractory. Peevish. I like them words. Froward is not just a mouth thing. It's an action thing. Because that's what we read here. It says, stay away from him of the froward mouth or the froward actions. And so the froward mouth, God says, look, stay away from it. It shouldn't be a part of your life. You shouldn't act like that. In other words, why don't you grow up? Why don't you grow up? Why don't you just realize, you know, and praise God, these fine young men right here are going to, they're a whole lot closer than they think. They're going to figure out one day that what it costs to grow up. You remember? You remember what it was like, adults, when you first started growing up? I can't wait to grow up. Can't wait to move out of the house. What do you mean I got to pay my rent? What do you mean I got to pay utilities? What, they're not just going to give me gas for my car? Insurance isn't free? Well, Mom, Dad, you need to pay for me to go to school. We had a very simple policy at our house. You're going to go to school, you better go get a job. Yeah, all three boys paid their own college bills. We took care of them through high school. After that, it was on them. If they got a car, and by the way, they weren't driving my car. When they got a car, they paid for the car. They paid for the gas. They paid for the oil. They paid. Now, a froward mouth. We need to be cautious of a froward mouth. Froward mouths don't just happen to teenage boys. Now, I'm picking on them because they're right down front. And we all know the likelihood of, you know, teenagers being that way. Not that our teenagers would be that way, but just teenagers in a whole could be like that. But it's really sad when you get a 30-year-old that is peevish. It is. Still living, you know, and looking for everything to be handed to him. Let's move on to our third point. How about perverse lips put far from thee? Perverse. Interesting to find the definition. Perverse, pervert. They put these together. To turn away, to distort, to twist, to transform into something of an opposite character, a change. So to perverse, to pervert, God has a way of righteousness and holiness. To be perverse or perverted from that means I would seek after unholiness and unrighteousness, that these things would be the way. So we have like a moral way of living and an immoral way of living. We would have the right, proper way, and then we have a perverse way, a perverted way. Galatians 1:7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's some even out there, ungodly people, who would love to pervert the gospel of Christ. And so we've got to realize that perverse talk, by the way, it doesn't just stop with that. Perverse talk could also be blasphemous talk, where we would cuss. That's being perverse. That's not being a wholesome person. When we could use good words, we choose to use improper words, perverse words. Now, here's some scriptures concerning perverse. Proverbs 8:8. All the words of thy mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. That ought to be our plea. God help me that the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. In Proverbs 17:20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Remember when we talked about froward, we talked about the fact that it could be an action, a way of living, and here he referred to it as even a froward heart. He was driven by those froward things. It was his life. 1 Timothy 6:5 says, perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. So Gil says this, interesting, of this verse here. Gil writes this. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth, a mouth speaking froward and perverse things, things contrary to right reason, contrary to the law of God, contrary to the gospel of Christ, contrary to the blasphemes against God or men. Everything that is untrue, everything that is unchaste, everything that is unjust, everything that is foolish. There's a time to have fun, but there's a time that we need to realize that some people are just being fools, foolish. You know, when you became 20, kids just grew up. But I met 30-year-olds that think it's funny to be funny all the time. Maybe the problem is they don't have Christ as their Savior, or maybe they don't study their Bible. But there comes a point in our life, and Paul gives an illustration. When I was a child, I acted like a child. When I grew up, I became a man. And so it should be in our lives. There's a time not to be foolish. With that word foolish, Gill also writes, and filthy. Filthy. Have you heard filthy talk? You know, when I went to work as a mechanic, first day, praise God, my boss took me around and introduced me as the preacher. I'd be walking through the shop, headed to my toolbox, and guys would be in a group, and they'd be laughing and cutting up, and they'd go, shh, here comes the preacher. Because they knew I didn't want to hear their garbage. They'd come up, you want to hear a dirty joke? No, I don't want to hear a dirty joke. I've tried to put those things out of my mind. I tried to put those things away from my heart. Let alone, listen, I don't want to be a repeater of those things that are filthy, that are perverse, that are unwanted. Those things should never be a part. Why? Because that's what God tells me to do. To keep my lips from being perverse. And so those things shouldn't be a part of my life. All swearing. All lying, and everything that is repugnant to truth and justice. Have I told you how much I like my friend Dr. Gill? To put away all swearing, lying, everything that is repugnant to truth and justice. Some understanding it of men that are liars and blasphemers and froward persons who are to be shunned and be avoided and to be debarred from the houses and society of good men. And perverse lips put far from thee. Do not make use of them thyself, nor keep company with men of such character. So when I went to automotive school, fresh out of high school, graduated from Bible Baptist School over in Bonner Springs, where I'd been taught the Word of God and to love the Lord, but God hadn't led me to be a preacher yet. I always wanted to be a mechanic. God opened that door, let me go to automotive school, gave me a wonderful trip through school because it was paid for, and I even got paid to go to school. It was just amazing. First time in my life I started making A's. It was amazing. It was something I'd wanted to do. I'd wanted my whole life to be a mechanic, my whole life to turn wrenches. But the sad thing, it didn't take long for me to realize that mechanics can be a very unfilthy, blasphemous group. And I used to think maybe it was just mechanics. But I really believe it's just men in general. And I hate to say now, even women. Men and women in general. So, while you're young, under the umbrella of your parents, young people, you need to make some choices. Because one day you're going to walk out into the real world where people use all kinds of filthy language and filthy things and images and frowardness. And you need to decide now, am I going to go along with them or am I going to walk my way? And then the Bible's quite clear that broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. So if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, the decision ought to be quite simple. I'm going to walk after Christ. I'm going to be like Him. You say, well, I might get made fun of. You don't think I ever got made fun of? You don't think I ever got criticized? But you know what? Those who criticized and those who mocked and those who made fun, their lives, so most of them are in shambles. And God's still leading and guiding my life, still married to the same beautiful woman, still God's blessed us with stuff that I just look and I go, man, we got way too much stuff. God's just given us too much stuff, you know. God's just been awful good to us. You'll find if you'll choose to walk with Him, that His blessings will be poured out on you as you choose to walk with Him. But if you go this way, you're just one of many. And it's a path you don't want to go down. So I graduated, or I would have graduated if I stayed in the public school. I would have graduated in a class of about 32 individuals. You know, already 16 of those kids that I would have graduated high school with are already dead. Most of them died mid-50s of that 15. Most of them died mid-50s. Partying too hard, trying to live too large, thinking they were invincible, thinking that they had control, they were in charge. I'm telling you, the choice is tough, but you'll find the blessings of God as you walk His way. Put away the frowardness. Put away the perverseness. Conclusion is this: keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. All of this is only possible through our heart being right. If our heart is not right, we can lie, we can manufacture, we can make it look good, but it will eventually show. Hard time, difficult decision, boom, out comes our mouth, dirty words. Oh, well, you know, that was just an accident. No, you're probably your heart's not right. If it was centered around God and you're filling it with scripture and prayer and those things are getting washed out of your life, then it's probably not going to happen when you get to the difficult time. But if you decide to be lazy or you decide to walk close to the world, then don't be surprised. That's what happens when the natural man rules instead of Christ ruling in your heart. If your heart's not growing in your walk with the Lord, then the wrong stuff can be put in. The wrong stuff, you're going to grow the way that you put stuff in. Man, you know, I kind of like spring because I like the little flowers and all that kind of stuff. But I hate to see that stuff in my front yard grow. I hate it. But I like my front yard better than the post office over here. They get an A+ for growing dandelions. I've never seen a place. It makes me want to go over and treat it for them. Those poor, broke people, government, you know, assisted facility over there, and they've got the worst dandelion problem in the whole world. And a male problem, that's true. But I got stuff at my house. Well, actually, now I use a company, and they come in, they go, shh, and they walk around. And if I see dandelions, I call them back, hey, Darren, I need you to get back over here. You missed a few. No, I'm serious. Now my yard is a big deal that I get to ride it with a lot, riding lawnmower, and I don't have to push it, okay? It's a big deal. I want to keep that yard looking nice. I want to keep the dandelions pulled out. Listen, Christian, if we're going to have the Christian life that we should have, then there's going to be times we walk around and we grab the dandelions, potential sin, the things that the Word of God tells us needs to go, and we pull it out and we put it away. This is one of those things. You leave it, don't be surprised if it doesn't multiply. Don't be surprised your kids don't pick up on it. Don't be surprised it's not a real issue. And all it takes is just going through and pulling it. Going through, pulling it. Getting rid of it. Pulling it out. God does not want us to live with a froward or perverse lips. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for your many blessings to us. We thank you for the fact that we can know that we're saved and on our way to heaven. We thank you for the fact that you care about us so much. You even care about the words that come out of our mouth. I pray to God that you'd help us to examine our lives and our hearts. So, Lord, might we start with our heart? Is it in a right relationship with you? Does it need to be drawn back to you, to be closer to you? Do I need to feed it more from the Word of God and my prayer life? Then, Lord, I examine my mouth. Are there words and phrases and innuendos and things that I use that carry a double meaning, and I mean for it to carry a double meaning. God, that needs to be gone. They need to be pulled. They need to be put far away, just totally not a part of my life. God, examine our hearts today. Give us wisdom and insight that we might serve you, that we might be found pleasing in your sight. We love you, and we ask these things in your wonderful and most precious name. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Brother Foster is going to lead us in Just As I Am. If God's spoken to your heart, I'd encourage you to come, whatever your need is, as Brother Foster leads us this first verse.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Things are going to be, we're headed to camp June 6th through the 11th. We'll have a camp meeting tonight. It'll be for those 9 through 18, I think it is, 9 somewhere in that area. So we'll have a meeting after camp and encourage the campers and the parents to be here for that. We're going to have ladies retreat this week. Please pray for our ladies on Friday and Saturday as they go to St. Joe. They always have a good time. Pray for the preaching and the messages to be used for God's glory in their life. God would keep them safe as they're there. And then prayer needs here. Ask that you remember to pray for Brother McGinnity. Had a stroke this week. Brother Savage trying to recuperate at home from his brain bleed. The Benson Juniors are out helping Ironwood today. So pray for them. The VCs are taking a break. They had a graduation they went to this weekend. And then it's good to see that Chins made it with us today. I've been praying for Deborah and Brother Jamie and all in the getting the Chins back home. So that's a blessing also. I also understand that Brother Don is going to be getting a year younger tomorrow. I mean older. And so might get by and tell him happy birthday. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. It's good to have Dave Walker here, my traveling companion, traveling the roads of America. And still, many times, they're not around a good church, so they just tune in to us. So it's always good to have them with us. Would you close us in prayer, Brother Dave? Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord. Amen. Lord bless you.